Going to read from Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals," and so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out, and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel, and has delivered me from the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Amen. Well, this is a remarkable account for a number of reasons. I want to know why the angel was in such a hurry. He was. But it's not Peter, nor even the angel, upon whom I'd like us to focus our attention this evening, but to Rhoda. Rhoda plays a very small part, not only in the entirety of Scripture, but also in this passage. She opens a door. Previously, an angel has opened the door, but it's Rhoda's job to open the door. Whether she does it or not, we'll have to see. I'm not quite sure why she gets a mention. The focus is Peter. The glamour is the angel. There's a miracle. And yet I wonder if Luke, when he was recording this, maybe he knew Rhoda, or he wanted to give her some special attention. Her name clearly has been preserved in time for Luke to write it down by, of course, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the Lord wanted us to know about this young woman. Well, what do we know about her? Well, we know she's called Rhoda. I don't think the name has any particular significance. I think it means Rose. It's a good enough name. What is she doing in the house? Some commentators assume that she is a servant. She's called a girl, and servants were often called girls and boys. On the other hand, she may have been a daughter of the house. It might be that she was part of the church who happened to be meeting in that particular home with the express purpose of praying for Peter's deliverance. And as a church member, well, she turned up like everybody else and she was nearest to the door. The fact that she does open the door at a time when large households did employ staff for the purpose of opening doors might indicate she was indeed a servant in the home. Being a doorkeeper probably wasn't considered the most glamorous role in the household. That's why one biblical writer can say, better to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. To be the humblest and the least important in the kingdom of heaven is still to be the greatest than anyone here on earth. And it might be that Rhoda, if indeed she was a servant girl, perhaps because of her youth or inexperience, or perhaps just because of the way things work out, she has the lowly position of operating a door. In one respect, she had some authority because it was down to her judgment as to whether the door was going to be opened or not, though on this occasion she does appear to forget. This is, I think, essentially a lovely story, a charming story. I also think it's a comical story. Somebody once complains that the Bible isn't very funny. And my answer is that actually, I think there is humour in the Bible. I think we have humour here. On the other hand, the Bible, its message, its primary purpose is not to entertain, but to make us aware of our needs for God, for Jesus Christ, and for salvation. There'll be laughter enough in heaven. Earth, we need to get right with God. Nevertheless, I think this is an amusing story. So we have the church praying for Peter. What are they praying for? Are they praying for his deliverance? Well, if they are, God answered their prayer, but they didn't believe God answered their prayer for quite some time. Were they praying that God would give him the strength to endure? Herod is a nasty piece of work. He's already killed James, and Peter is next on the list. From a human point of view, he's absolutely certain that Peter is going to die, probably the following day. He's not going to escape. Well, God has more power than Herod. The angel of the Lord is more powerful than those chains, that gate, and those guards, who don't apparently notice that their prisoner is escaping. If they're praying that Peter will face death with bravery, well, God doesn't grant that request, at least not quite yet. God has determined that Peter's usefulness on earth has not yet expired. The time would come when they would lead him where he did not want to go. He was probably, according to tradition, we can't be certain, probably crucified in Rome. But he's not in Rome now. And that is some time off. The Lord determined to release him, I think, on account of that prayer. We're going to bring our own requests to God shortly. And sometimes, and I speak of myself, but perhaps you can identify with this, sometimes we're more surprised that God answers our prayer than we ought to be. It's almost as though we ask with the expectation that nothing will happen. And when something does happen, well, we're taken aback. I think that's what happened at this prayer meeting. I think they were interceding for Peter, and the Lord was pleased to hear them. But when he actually released him, they don't seem to believe it, or they think it's too good to be true. So many are gathered together praying. Presumably, although Rhoda is keeping an ear on the door, she too is praying. She might be low down the pecking order. She's almost certainly young. She's not very important. Although I hasten to add, very few people in that prayer meeting are now remembered, but Rhoda's remembered. Little acts of service, even like opening a door for Peter, or at least making his presence known, is important, and God values it. Nevertheless, I think she too is praying. But Peter is knocking at the door, and Rhoda comes to answer. She is a praying woman, but she doesn't let her spirituality or her piety get in the way of practical service. And it's important that we bear that in mind. She prays, but she also serves. Now, she might have said to herself, I'm praying to the Lord. Whoever is knocking on that door right now, salesmen, beggars, whoever it is, they can jolly well come back tomorrow. Thank God she did not have that attitude. She was prepared to go to the door. We're told that she recognised Peter's voice. Evidently, he's doing more than knocking. I think he's been knocking for a while, and he's also calling out. And she hears that voice. How does she recognise Peter's voice? Well, John Gill says because she has been listening to an awful lot of his preaching. Admittedly, he would have had a Galilean accent. But then there were rather a lot of Galileans around at that time. She knows Peter's voice because she listens to him. He is a preacher. He is an apostle. He opens up the scriptures and he proclaims Jesus Christ. She's heard him preach and she knows how he speaks and what kind of things he would say, even through a door. And she is so excited. She wants to go and tell the good news. I am minded here a little bit of the resurrection of Jesus himself, where the women witness the empty tomb and then they go back to the others and the others don't believe. In one respect, Peter has been resurrected. He's under a sentence of death and yet he comes out of the prison alive and well. And Rhoda, little Rhoda, is the first witness of that wonderful release. And she goes back to tell the others and the others don't believe her. She ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. It might be that some of them were annoyed. Who does she think she is? We're busy praying, can't you see? We're doing something more important. But Rhoda is bringing them news. Your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have been answered. They said to her, "You are beside yourself. You're mad. You're seeing things. You're hearing things. Calm down, sit down and be quiet." But she kept insisting that it was so. She might be the least important person in that house. But she will share the truth, come what may. And when they tell her to be quiet and calm down, she continues. She knows that Peter is outside. She knows that that is wonderful news. She has kind of forgotten to let him in. And had she let him in, they would probably have believed her. But I think we can overlook that because we know the motive, the reason she leaves him outside on the street, is that she is glad. Another reason. I think I have a love for Rhoda. Is that you can really feel her joy. She's overcome with gladness and joy. That Peter, whom she didn't think she would see again until she too died, is outside. She's glad because somehow the King of Heaven has overruled a king on earth. She's overjoyed because the great God who's busy running a universe has deigned to hear the prayers uttered in that very house. I think she's overjoyed. Because as an apostle and a preacher of the gospel, she knows that she's going to continue to sit under his ministry. Yes, she should have opened that door and let him in. But she is so overcome with joy. She simply wants to tell others the good news. She is already, as it were, an evangelist among the very people of God. I don't quite know what they mean when they said it is his angel. Of course, it could just simply mean messenger. Peter has sent a messenger from prison to say, you know, fingers crossed I might be let out or keep praying for me. I don't know. Or do they actually, have they been praying that an angel would rescue Peter? But instead of rescuing him, the angel thought he'd pop around and see how they... I don't know. It seems a strange thing to do. In the meantime, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, what happened to Rhoda? Well, she has apparently been relieved of her door-opening duties on that particular occasion. Again, I don't want to make a big point about this because I think anybody who reads the story develops a wonderful soft spot for Rhoda. But it was actually her job to open the door and let him in. Yes, it was joy and a desire to share the good news with others which caused her not to. And yet, I think others let him in because she didn't do it to begin with. Whatever the Lord has called us to do, even a small thing, do it. Because if you don't, God will raise up somebody else to do it for you. And then Peter, evidently they're all talking and laughing. Verse 17, Peter motions them with his hand to keep silent and then gives them the count. I'm not an angel, though an angel has been here. I am Peter. Rhoda now disappears into the fog of history. And yet I think she's a very precious young woman from whom we might learn a lot.